Thank you. We are going to make a big leap today in the book of Revelation. We are moving from verse 2 to verse 3. And it's going to go a bit faster now. And we are going to see a whole verse today. Go fully. We do have quite a few parallel passages to read. In fact, at one point, we will be passing the microphone very fast, and so I'll just select which one, and we'll read them in sequence. So today we'll study the last, the fifth and last step to the sequence of passing the revelation all the way from God to us. And we will review for a last time those five steps. And the revelation goes from God to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave him. And it goes from Christ to his angel. It says that and Christ sent and signified that revelation by his angel. And it goes from the angel to John, by his angel to his servant John. And the angel transmitted it to John. It goes from John. John has written it and given it to the messenger. And that's what we saw last week. His servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So guess it says that blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. And that's a verse we're going to see, verse 3. So last week we made a point which is worth repeating this evening. We said that while each step is cumulative and progressive, all the steps are not the same. They are not five equal steps. Something different occurs at each step. In the first step, God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it remains Jesus Christ's revelation all throughout. It's just that we have to do something different with it. Christ, this speaks of the glorification of Christ. He is being given a name which is above every name. He is being crowned Lord. That's what the revelation is about. He is appearing as Lord and Savior at his second coming. In the second step is different from the first. In the second step, Christ sent his angel to transmit his revelation. The angel doesn't appear anywhere. He doesn't speak anywhere. He just transported John into a dream, a vision, and John saw everything. So the third step is different from the second. In the third step, the angel transmitted the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. And in the fourth step is different from the third. John testified of the revelation. He bore witness. He served as a witness to it. He saw the whole story of the revelation displayed before him in dreams, and he wrote it down as if it were the testimony of a witness. That is what we studied last week. We had the theme, the witness to the revelation of Christ from John to the reader. We had two main points to that. We saw the agency of John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it is his servant John who bore witness. And in that, we saw that John as witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ was a credible agent in that he is called his servant. And his servant is a term reserved for those whom God has vetted and God is using for a special role in the history of redemption. God doesn't call anybody his servant. And you can look at the expression, it's always about very special people. So he's credible, he's very special. And as a witness to the revelation of Jesus Christ, John is also a concordant agent. We saw that last week. John wrote what he witnessed, what he saw. The verb bear witness is used three times in the book of Revelation for John, for the angel, and for Christ. And all three testimonies concord. They are the same. They are about Jesus Christ, who is presented in a manner in which he had never been seen before. But that's the agency of John. But what is the activity of John we saw last week? The activity of John as witness to revelation of Jesus Christ. It says that he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. And so John testified that the revelation of Jesus Christ is God's decree. It's God's word. God said it. Okay? Just as even more so, when God said, let there be light. Okay? So that's a decree. That's God saying something and it happens. And there is no doubt that it would. So he testified it is God's decree. He testified that it is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. And the testimony of Jesus Christ, the testimony of Jesus Christ is equal to the decree of God. They are both the same. It is a decree because God said it. It is a testimony because you can see it. It is going to happen. John saw it. And it is also that testimony, it's all that John saw. John spoke what he saw, and all he saw, he spoke. So God guided him that he would not be distracted, and what he saw and what is equal to what he wrote. So the first step of the revelation took the form of seeing the testimony of Jesus Christ and writing it down. That's the first step. And what did John do with the book that he wrote? The book containing the revelation of Jesus Christ that he wrote. The book that has the testimony of Jesus Christ. What did John do with it? John gave it to an individual who went from church to church to read it to them. That's the fifth step we are studying tonight. And it is what verse 3 says, if you look at it with me. It says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So tonight we are talking about the reading, hearing, keeping blessing of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You hear, you read, you keep, you read, you hear, you keep it. That's the blessed thing about this book. And there are four things that we're going to study this evening from that fifth and last step. The nature of the book of the Revelation is stated. It says that John called it the words of this prophecy. So it is a prophecy. That's the nature of this book. And it is stated in the form of a beatitudes, blessed. That fifth step is stated in the form not of something that you have to take and pass by. It's something that you do and you are blessed by it. The third step, the third thing we see is the activities expected to be conducted with this book. This book is supposed to be read, it's supposed to be heard, it's supposed to be applied. And the fifth thing is the motivation in order to do those activities. The time is near. Be serious about this. So let's look at those four points of study this evening. We have quite a few verses to read because we have quite a few things to learn from this fifth step. The nature of the content to the reading, hearing, keeping of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the verse says, the words of this prophecy. John classifies the book of Revelation for us. It is not an allegory. It is not fiction. It's not history. It is prophecy. John calls it the words of this prophecy. So at the end of the book, the prophetic nature of the book is stated repetitively many times in chapter 22. We find it in verse 7, if you want to turn there. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. In verse 10, it says again, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So we have said that the word prophecy may refer to either prediction or predication. So it may be either prediction or preaching. Or it may refer sometimes in its application to both. And in fact, prediction is never used in Scripture simply. Prophecy is never used in Scripture simply to satisfy people's curiosity. Never. Prophecy is always about present application. God predicts the future to motivate present obedience. Look at every one of those prophecies in the back. The application is always, change your ways. You did this, this is what God's doing. You better repent right now. It's always about present obedience. Prophecy is always about present application. God predicts the future to motivate present obedience. And this verse is no exception. This verse pronounces a blessing upon those reading, hearing, and keeping this prophecy. And then it ends with a perspective of the future when it says the time is at hand. The book of Revelation is prophecy in its full strength, both prediction and predication, both foretelling and forthtelling. Some sections are straight forthtelling, like the messages to the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3. You have this problem. You'll better take it because I am going to do this to you. And those who keep, I'm going to bless them. That sounds like good Sunday morning preaching. So when you look at this, knowing that this book is prophecy helps also in interpreting the book. In my view, the fact that the book is stated as prophecy, this eliminates the idealistic interpretation of the book. This idea that it is an allegory between good and evil, and you apply it in everyday life. The application part is good, but the fact that it is prophecy eliminates that we are going to idealize this book as allegory. The Bible, interpreting it as prophecy may still be difficult. There might still be, and there will be, matters that we may not understand or that we may not be able to identify. And that we should not try to identify when we do not know what they are. We still must be careful not to be absolute where some matters of prophecy might not be completely clear. But this book is stated by John here in this verse and Christ himself in chapter 22 that it is indeed prophecy, and we have to treat it that way. And as such, we must apply the principles of prophetic interpretation when we go to this book. So we know the nature of this book. We are talking about the people who are looking at this book. John says, you look at it as prophecy. That settles it. So the second thing we have to see in this book for people like us in that fifth step is that it's presented to us as when we approached it, know that you are approaching this with a promise of a blessing. There's a beatitude associated with the reading, hearing, keeping of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear and keep. So from God to Jesus, the revelation is a gift. From Jesus Christ to the angel, the revelation is a commissioning. He sent his angel. From Jesus sent it. From the angel to John, the revelation is a transmission. From John to the one who reads, the revelation is a testimony, a reporting of what John saw. And the level of the at the level of the reader, hearer, and doer, the revelation of Jesus Christ is a beatitude. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear and keep. And this beatitude is the first of seven that are in the book of Revelation. I put this, and we are going to read them one after the other. So, Brian, you are the first beatitude, and Brother Jew, you are the second, and Sister Death, yes. What? Robin came in my mind. I said, no, that's not Robin, Beth. You are the third beatitude. That will be verse 15. Sweetheart, you are the fourth beatitude. And Brother Ray, you are which one? Fifth, okay. And that will be verse 6 of chapter 20. And Brother Bob, you are the sixth, verse 7 of chapter 22. And your sixth wife is perfection, number 7. Okay, let's go. One after the other. Without any comment.
Testing. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near.
And chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.
Sixteen, 15, and this is in red. It's the words of our Lord Jesus. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed.
Revelation 19, verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God.
Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen.
Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book.
Amen.
22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city.
So these seven beatitudes, thank you, you guys did beautifully. The seven beatitudes describe the blessedness of treating this book not simply as a piece of prophecy to satisfy curiosity. No. It is a book that contains blessings for those who read, hear, and keep, for those who die in faith in Jesus Christ, for those who focus their lives upon the second coming of Christ and not simply upon the things of the world. Blessing for those who are called to the marriage of the Lamb. It's a book of blessing for those who will be resurrected with Christ and unto Christ. It's a book of blessing for those who keep and do Christ's commands. That's what the book is about. This book is about the blessings of being Christ-like in faith and in faithfulness. It is not about prophetic curiosity or prophetic argument. When we read this book, we should hear and do, not speculate and argue. And that is exactly what the third part of the verse tells us. It talks about the activity of the reading, hearing, keeping of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says, he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. You see, the book has a collective perspective. You read this book, it has a lot of groups who go through similar experiences together, peoples, nations, tongues, and the like. Groups suffer together. Groups praise together. Groups are called churches. Groups have similar garments. But within these groups, separate people play separate roles. And here, one singular, one person reads, others listen, and both reader and listener keep. The others participate by listening. One is leads by reading. Others participate by listening. And hopefully he who read and all those who listen comply with what is written in this book of prophecy. We are a collectivity where God has given us different roles. Men, women, pastor, deacons. And it goes on and on. But we are one in Christ. So let's look at those three parts, the reading part. The content of the revelation of Jesus Christ is to be proclaimed. It says, blessed is he who reads. Was John referring simply about the practice of reading scripture allowed in congregations at that time? Or was John referring to a specific individual who will go to one church after another, read the book in the first one, roll it up, and go to the other church, read it again, roll it up, and go to the church and do that? And if that be the case, then we may have had in mind, John may have had in mind the seven churches mentioned in chapters 2 and 3. One person would read, people listen, and they commit to practice what they heard. And then the reader would go roll the scroll, go to the next church, read again. People would listen again and commit to practice. It would roll the scroll again and go to the church. Thus, the reader would do in Ephesus. They will do the same in Smyrna. They will do the same in Pergamos. They will do the same in Thyatira. They will do the same in Sardis. They will do the same in Philadelphia. And they do the same in Laodicea. We do not have any specific statement that confirms this was the case. But in my view, my humble opinion, the context supports this perspective best. I doubt that John would mean that the book of Revelation will always have to be read aloud whenever it is used, that one person would have to read it and everybody else would have to sit and listen. I doubt that's what he meant. So the concept of a specific assignment seems more plausible to me. And Paul has given specific assignments to people before about what he wrote. In the synagogues, it is said that scripture was read aloud regularly. The practice went from the synagogues to the churches in the New Testament. And it went from the churches in the New Testament to Robinson Baptist Church, where the New Covenant is read every Sunday. And we'll continue to do it. And I have to find a way to include the Old Covenant as well. So let us read aloud some passages to that effect. We have some passages. Who has the microphone next? Okay. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. Whoever is next to you will have Nehemiah 8:2. Whoever is next will have Leviticus chapter 4, verse 16. And then we'll walk our way back with the other verses. They are the passages on the screen. Let's go. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7.
And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient.
So that was Moses reading aloud to all the people. They listen and they commit to do. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 2.
So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month.
The priest read the law, people listen, and they commit to do. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 16.
Then the anointed priest is to bring some of the blood of the bull to the tent of meeting.
Is that Leviticus 4:16? Okay, my bad. Why don't you read Acts 13, verse 15? I put the one, probably put the wrong reference here. And whoever is next will read chapter 15, verse 21, please. Acts 13:15.
After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it."
Man, Paul had to prepare a sermon right on the spot. Chapter 15, verse 21. Acts.
"For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath."
Every Sabbath there is scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15.
"But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart."
Okay, so even then, in the Jewish synagogues, even though the New Testament studied, they kept reading it loud in the synagogue. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16.
"After this letter had been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from the Laodicean."
So we believe that those two letters are Colossians and Ephesians. So Colossians was to be read in the church of Colossae, and the letter from the Laodiceans was the letter of Ephesians. So they exchanged letters. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27.
"I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers."
Okay, so this idea of reading scripture aloud and people sit down and listen was something that was supposed to be done in all congregational meetings, whether it's synagogues or churches. So we will expect that if there is anything related to churches in the book of Revelation, that must be what John was thinking, because that's what has been done since as far back you can think as Moses or before. So Revelation 1:3 implies that the book of Revelation was to be used at least as all other books of scripture are used. It has the same standing, the same authority as any other book of scripture. Whenever any book of scripture is read, this should also be read. And people should give it the same attention as they would give to Thessalonians or the Ten Commandments. Neglecting the book is to neglect a promised blessing. So both tradition and context seems to tell us that when John is talking about one who reads, it's certainly a reading to at least those seven churches that I mentioned, in the same way that the other books were read in the past. So the second part, one reads and everybody listens, to show that the content of the revelation of Jesus Christ is to be heard. It's not a game. It's not an entertainment. It's not a show off. In the New Testament, hearing is never an end in itself. We have numerous scriptures that expect us to pay attention to what we hear, and then after that, to do it. And the most significant, perhaps, are those that are stated, for example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Go ahead, brother.
"Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Mm-hmm. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall."
That's the way it is. You hear, you do. If you hear, you don't do, it's disastrous. It's the same as in Luke, that what the brother Ray just read. It's the same as in Luke 6, 47. Read Luke 8, verse 21, please.
Luke 8, verse 21. "But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it."
Yeah. If you want to be connected with Christ, that's what you do. You hear and do. Chapter 12, verse 47 of Luke, please.
"And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will, will receive a severe beating.
Yeah, that's what happens. Romans 2, verse 13.
Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified.
It's not good enough to come to church and just listen to sermons. Okay, this is not just a social routine. And very much so, James 1, verse 22, and that would be our last one for this part.
James 1, 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves.
I mean, there is no such a thing as hearing only. We'll find people, great Bible study, that was fun. No! Hearing is a means for you to do. If you only hear, it's disastrous. So the revelation of Jesus Christ is to be heard, and close to that, the revelation of Jesus Christ is to be kept. That means it's to be done. The same is repeated in chapter 22, verse 7 as well at the book of Revelation. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Do you see that he doesn't even repeat hearing anymore? Because the book has been, it's like the reader has been reading it. And when he gets to the end, he's not talking about hearing, because you have been hearing 22 chapters. Now it's all about doing. We're at the end of it. So there is a double blessing, blessed for hearing and blessed for keeping. What does keeping those things mean in the context of Revelation? Is keeping referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ? Is keeping referring to the acclamation of Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the book? It's difficult to know what keeping means when we're talking about practice, because the book of Revelation doesn't contain imperatives. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, as you have in the epistles. The only places where we have some imperatives are the messages to the churches, chapter 2 and 3. Well, that's messages to the churches. You do what is said in those messages to the churches. Guess what happened? All those other things are the Beatitudes. There is no Beatitude right there in chapter 2 and 3. You go from verse chapter 1 and verse chapter 14 in the prophecies. So they are showing you the blessedness if you do what chapters 2 and 3 are talking about. And all this is a link with a motivation at the end of verse 3. The motivation to the reading, hearing, keeping of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For time is near. Now, the phrase "for the time is near" is very much debated in this passage and in the book of Revelation. Whatever interpretation you give to it, that's the interpretation you give to the whole book. And at the very least, for tonight, this sentence must mean, at the very least, that the fulfillment of the prophecy in the book is the next step. This fifth step is the last in the sequence of passing the revelation of Jesus Christ along. He passed it along, he gets to you, it's not going to be passed along to anybody else. It reaches the end of application. The next step about this is execution. At the very least, this must mean that. So the difficulty in the phrase is not necessarily the fact that things are going to happen. It is the timing of things. Does it mean immediately? Or does it mean in a long time? And that's where all hinges. We will study that when we get to chapter 1, verse 19. Now, you may or may not have noticed that this very phrase was in verse 1, and I did not explain it. And it is right here in verse 3. I'm not going to spend time on it. Not only I don't have time, the time of prayer is at hand. But the reason I didn't do that in verse 1 and in verse 3 is because I'm reserving all the explanation for verse 19, which is the key verse in there. So regardless the exact meaning of the expression, brethren, we can be sure that it was used to motivate the readers. You need to read, hear, listen. Do not waste time to It was to exhort them to prioritize the second coming of Jesus Christ when he will be glorified, because that is next. It could happen at any moment. And as we study this book, let us focus the same. The book is there for reading, hearing, and doing. Let us be motivated the same. Blessed is he who approaches this book in this manner. That is the intent of our Lord when he sent his angel to signify it. And that is for everybody. Verse 1 shows that Christ had all believers in mind. The verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. And he gave it to that first servant to see and write it down so that all the other servants will read, hear, and keep. And that's the commitment we have to have in regard to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are going to be faithful to every opportunity we have to hear. Whether it's Sunday school, Sunday morning sermons on the evening, and Bible study on Wednesdays, and Bible study. Read and hear. And go out with the determination to do. And you know, if you do that, what God says, beatitude. Blessing in all aspects. And if ever you had a time in your life when you did not read, hear, and do, and you can see now in your life that you are hearing, reading, hearing, and doing, you can see the difference. There are still challenges, but you don't face them the same. There is not that stress. There is peace. There is joy, even in the middle of struggles. It's always worked that way. Blessed is the one who hear, who read, and those who hear and keep. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the study of your word. What a beautiful story that we have here. The report that John brought to us of what he saw. Oh, what a blessing. And help us to walk in that frame of mind of the blessedness that you give to those who read, to the one who read, and to those who hear, and to all of us who keep. Magnify your name as we go into prayer, and bless our church that forever until you come, you return, that will always be a church that reads, that listens, and that complies to what God says. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.